You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 while I'm getting wired up here. Boy, we need a better clip on this thing. Got it. The old man doesn't get everything. Look, if you will, at Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Let's read for a little bit. I will read and you follow along if you will. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and bound up his wounds, and poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus going unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, you've been merciful to us.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the word of God we have, and I pray that we will have a good service. I pray, Lord, that your word will go out with power, and that some soul might get rest and peace, and that someone might be saved. We ask you, Lord, to bless this day and this hour and all these people that are here and all that are listening. We ask you, Lord, to bring honor to your name. Let your word do its job, heal and save. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not a real user of Facebook or Twitter or things like that. When it first came out, I got to looking and somebody was lifting weights and somebody was eating something and I thought, why do I want this? Now I know some of you love it and I end up with my picture on it because of my daughters, generally. But I don't have anything to do with it. And yet, if you've been at it a while, you know there's some people that take it up to preach. Or they've got a particular doctrine or a particular candidate that they want to push. And so there is a lot of infighting, you know what I mean, and trying to beat one another. Well, when Jesus went to the temple, he was confronted by many of those that were trying to defend the Jewish religion and the things that they were doing against what he was teaching. Now, that was what he was doing when he was at the temple. Somebody, one of these guys, and this probably is a smart lawyer. Now, lawyers like lawyer jokes. They take that pretty common. Most lawyers have to be willing to lie, I think. Or they couldn't take many cases. It's just one of those things. And this is a lawyer. But in his kind of law, he's a lawyer for the Jewish religion. He's a lawyer for the Jewish interpretation of the Old Testament scriptures. And it said he was a certain lawyer. He stood up and he tempted him. What's he doing? He's trying to get Jesus into a question or a problem that he can't answer and he can show him up. Now, I've had that happen to me many times. I've been preaching over 64 years. And believe me, I've had plenty of controversy and plenty of arguments over what the Scripture says. My personal answer to most every one of them is, I want to know what it says. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how you define that other words or something. But if you have to add words to your doctrinal statement to make it fit the Word of God, then you're in the wrong place. You don't have it right. Let the Bible say what it says. Let these witnesses to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them say what they say and read what they say, and then you'll get a good, pretty good lock on that thing. Well, that's what he was doing. Jesus is all the time being confronted by one of these lawyers and a fellow. He might have been a very smart man, probably was. I've talked to a bunch of them. They're very, very intelligent. But I don't count people's intelligence. If you can look at a world that has all that we have, and as he was talking about a self-healing body this morning, we know that's the truth. And I've been in and out of the doctor's offices and seen all their charts on where my blood vessels go down my legs and where all my heart goes and all that stuff like that. I'm pretty familiar with that. It's an amazing thing. Your body is an amazing thing. I had a habit of saying dumb as dirt. And one time I thought, you know, dirt is not really dumb. Except it doesn't speak. But I would say dumb as dirt. You know how magical dirt is? All your food's grown out of dirt. The animals eat things grown out of the dirt. I had a cousin, my oldest cousin older than me, was 26 years older than me. But we were friends. And he was a believer. And he moved from Lampasas area, Burnett area, to Artesia, New Mexico. And when the boys were small, Berlin and I were in Roswell for 3 years. We would go down and visit with these friends. And he had a big farm. And he had an artesian well, about that big a pipe coming out of the ground, flowing without you even pumping it at all. And then he had a big diesel engine on that thing. If he wanted to pump water, he could really let it flow. He could grow almost anything. Almost anything. In that dirt. It didn't look like good dirt. It wasn't black dirt. It was sandy dirt. It looked like sand. But what amazed me is what he could grow there. And how well it grew. All you had to have was the water. You know, dirt isn't dumb. Dirt is magical. Think of all of the things that dirt does for you. In fact, some of you ought to eat a little of it every once in a while. Instead of washing your hands so much. But that's just a joke. My oldest daughter was a little baby, and she was sitting out in the sort of the flower garden in front of the front porch. And she was eating dirt. She just reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt and eat it. We told the doctor. He's a pretty wise man. I have one of my favorite doctors. He said, she probably needs something that's in it. Don't even worry about it. And she's the healthiest one we ever had. She was 13 years old until this doctor knew that we had her, because she run a needle through her finger sewing, and she wouldn't let me pull it out. So I had to take her to the doctor to get it pulled out. And he said, I didn't even know you had this girl. That was how healthy she was. At any rate, what I'm going to tell you is dirt is not dumb. It's absolutely magical. The sun, what a beautiful thing it does. It warms us up and it brings life. Life comes from the sun. You know, God's awful smart. Now, if I point this chair out, and one of you smart fellows that would like to debate the Bible, you don't believe there's a God. Do you think there's a chair maker? Isn't that chair a testimony that there is a chair maker? And you talk about your human body and all of the different little animals and all of the different things and how much it relates on how far we are from the sun and the water and the rain and stuff like that. All you had to do put water on that New Mexico land. It was sandy. It just looked like sand. It didn't look like, it wasn't black dirt, but I think it was rich dirt. Grow anything. Grow it a whole lot. Wow. This is a wonderful world. And the more I understand and study it, the more wonderful it becomes. And I get it down to my old age. I'll tell you what, somebody may think they're really smart, but anybody that could look at a chair and say that happened by itself is stupid or wicked or refusing to believe what is in front of their eyes. You look at a world, there's a world maker. You look at a chair, there's a chair maker. You look at a pulpit, and there's a pulpit maker. You look at a Bible, and there's a Bible maker. And look at you, no, you came from a monkey. Well, who'd the monkey come from? No, you know there's got to be a God. And now, there's all sorts of debates and whatever, and if they people that say there is no God, which all just happened out of a rare explosion of something about the size of a golf ball, and it created all this universe out here. Now, it takes more faith to believe that than it takes to believe this. Amen?
Amen.
So here we have a lawyer standing up to tempt Jesus. And so he goes right down at the course of the thing. The creative mind of the Word of God or God, would God do anything? He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a big question. It's still a big question. And in fact, people are trying to settle it today all over the country, all around the world. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Isn't that the answer to everything? You're going to get old like me one of these days, and your foot's going to go out like mine has gone out. And you'll say, don't know why I can't fix this thing. But God Almighty built this thing. And it's a wonderful, wonderful machine. I'm not complaining. I've had 85 good years. Amen. A lot of you are not going to see 85. And most of the world is not going to see 85. I need to thank God for what I've got and how God has been so merciful to let me see as much as I've seen and do as much as I've done. Wow. I think looking at you, there's a God that creates people. I think looking at this building, there were some men put out a whole lot of effort to build this building. But somebody built it. It didn't just happen. It didn't appear one day. There was a whole lot of work and a whole lot of labor and a whole lot of money that went into it. We started with the first building over there. One morning, I had about 40 people in church, and I just made a contract on this land, and I said, we need to build a church. I'll give the first $1,000. Will you give it with me? I got $25,000 that morning. We built that building. We didn't do it with professionals. We did it with common labor from people like on these Saturday work days. And what a joy we had. I remember one time, Brother Roy Baldwin and all of us were up on the roof over here, the other building over there. And Linda was nailing right next to it. And then she hit Roy Baldwin's hand with a hammer. There were all sorts of things like that. We hauled rocks and we hunted all sorts of stuff. But we had a ball. We had a really good time and we became great friends. But the building was built by a builder. Well, I think, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's a pretty good question. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? That's just Jesus answering. Jesus is asked the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes back to the lawyer and he says, what is written in the law? He's a lawyer. He should know the law. How readest thou? What is your interpretation? He answered, you listen to this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You ever done that? He said, this do and you'll live. You answered right. Their eyes answered right. This do and thou shalt live. I thought about that for about 64 years. Maybe even longer. I don't know that I've ever loved God with all my heart. I love my folks. I love my family. I love my girlfriend. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I love my great-grandkids. And I got a, they're still coming. Hang around. We'll just have a big crowd. Just be Kincaid grandkids. Great-grandkids. How about that? Love God with all my heart. Boy, I get guilty on that one, don't you? You tell me you do that every day? You love God with all your heart? How about with all your mind? With the television going and the radio going and Facebook going and all the things going on along, do you love God with all your mind? You talk about something that brings guilt. I get guilty reading the Old Testament law, Moses' law. I say, well, I didn't make that. I get guilty and have to confess some sins to God whenever I'm reading the law. Well, what about when you read this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength? Hey, we got another one. And thy neighbor as thyself. Who is your neighbor? This is something else. Now, back in the day, fellow's barn burned down. All of his neighbors from around, they'd bring wood, they'd bring tools, they'd come over, bring food, and they would put another barn up. And they were neighbors because they were within 5 miles of him, maybe. Anybody within 5 miles would have been a neighbor. When I grew up on Walton Street here in San Antonio on the south side off of Nogalitas, when I was thinking as the word neighbor, now I've known the word neighbor a long time, but I thought of my neighbors as the next two houses down this way and across the street, and I didn't think that everybody that went to Burbank was my neighbor. That was just a little bit more than I could imagine. And so if you'd ask me, how about your neighbor? I'd be talking about Mr. Hoffines or Mrs. Scott or somebody like that, just three or four houses around. Now, I knew a lot of the people, but I didn't know all of them. Do you know everybody on your block? Do you go out and talk with everybody on your block? Who is your neighbor? Something to think about. Because he said here, I've got an illustration for you. Verse 28, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Okay, now the lawyer comes in, he's got his question, he's got his topic, and he's willing to justify himself. What I'm telling you is that most people get in an argument, they're just trying to show up themselves. They're trying to show how smart they are and how they've got a better way to think and a better way to reason and answer. And I understand that. It's a big thing. In fact, in early days in this country, big lawyers who won legal cases, if they were coming in and trying a case, the hall would be full. Everybody wanted to hear them. They were famous men. They were very smart men, and they answered things well. And somebody said, well, I was in the court when they said this. He, willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Does this sound reasoned? Did you watch the news any of this last week? Was there any guy that got beat up and robbed and wounded? Was anybody killed? Did somebody kill somebody because they didn't have 50 cents to give them? This stuff happens all the time. It's in the news every day. They got people shooting people because they didn't drive the way somebody wanted them to drive. There was a little 4-year-old girl here just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Somebody in another car drove by and shot into the car and killed the 4-year-old girl, and it was over nothing. You think this still happens? Yeah, it happens every day. Okay, here's this man. Didn't say what he was. Didn't say whether he was a Jew or a Samaritan. We don't know what he was. We just know he is an unfortunate man. He got into the wrong crowd. You know how to get into the wrong crowd? Go to a nightclub after midnight.
That's right.
Or even just stay out after midnight. Most normal people are home in bed, or else they're watching late night television, or they're playing a movie, or they're whatever, sleep already. But you hang around. Did you notice that an awful lot of these things happen at bars after midnight? Well, why don't you go to a bar at midnight if you really want to get beat up and shot and whatever? That would be a one chance, you know. You might get that. Yes, it happens. It happens every day. Now, a certain priest, this is a Jewish priest, came that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, the priest is supposed to be a holy man. The priest is supposed to be a godly man. The priest is supposed to care for people. Well, we got a priest. He's not doing that. He looked at that and said, that guy's bloody. That guy's torn all up. Man, he's ugly. He's vomited all over himself, and he's ugly. Oh, man, I don't want to talk. He went around. Well, a Levite. He was a man who worked in the temple. He came by. He saw the same bloody man, the same man with snot and vomit, blood. And he said, I don't want to get near that. And he passed by on the other side. You know what a Samaritan is? It's a half-breed Jew. It was Jews commingled with the people of the land. And they were looked down upon in this time. And so he said, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I really appreciate people that have compassion. I'm sure I don't have enough. I'm sure that's one of my sins. But I do have compassion. These people in Ukraine, all these women and children going out, having to leave their men, and then they're having their houses bombed, and all good night, I think about that. I have terrible, terrible. What kind of a war is it you want to just bomb the people's houses? It said the Samaritan saw him and he had compassion on him. There's not enough compassion. Did you know that? You don't have enough compassion.
Amen.
I know for sure I don't have enough compassion. There's not enough kindness going around. As if you were into the Sunday school lesson, you would have heard a very good lesson on how we ought to act and how we ought to act with people. And I'm just convinced if there was a little more kindness, it'd be less divorces. Be less problem with children. Just a little more kindness. Wow, do we need some kindness. Wow, do we need some compassion. Not just writing a check. How about doing something about something? I had a friend named David Holmes. He was an Army veteran, and I was an Air Force veteran, and we went to Howard Payne College at the same time. Just we got out of service, and we ended up being friends. He was a little New Yorker, a smart aleck New Yorker. We became great friends because I was a smart aleck Texas farm boy. And at any rate, there went a fire, a tornado and a fire went through the little community where he lived. After he got out of college and had his family and everything. Burned his barn down. Now, he had a lot of cattle. He had beautiful cattle. Beautiful cattle. The man was very good at what he did. You know what the people did? People that he didn't even know, farmers out there, dropped hay at his place for his cows because all his hay had been burned. His house was burned. His barn was burned. And that community, not waiting on the federal government or even the Texas government, got their tractors and their equipment. They tore down the houses. They cleaned up the roads. They did everything like that, put it in a big trash fire, and helped each other out and built and bound them everything again. Not waiting for anybody to come to do something about it. These guys were workers. They had compassion. He's got all these beautiful cattle, probably 100 head. Beautiful black Angus muleys with no horns. Born that way. And he was amazed and he was humbled that his neighbors would come by and drop off loads of hay. That's compassion. That's what the compassion ought to be. There ought to be some kindness. He went to him, he bound up his wounds. There's a lot of people can't do what nurses do and doctors do. They can't look at the blood. They can't look at the mess. They can't clean the excrement out of the beds. But it's got to be done. Somebody's got to do it for you to keep on living when you're sick and having problems. Where's the compassion? You need some compassion. You need enough compassion to help somebody who needs help. He had compassion on him, went and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He picked him up and put him on his beast. Brought him to an inn and took care of him that night. And then he gave 2 pence. That doesn't sound like much, but that was a day's wage. He gave 2 days' wages at the time for the host of the inn to take care of him as long as he could. He said, "What you spend more, I will repay thee." Would you trust this man? I would. If he told me that, I'd believe him because of what he'd already done. He had compassion. He worked himself. He's on a traveling way. This guy can't move with him. He puts him in there. "Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now Jesus asked the lawyer a question. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" You got to answer that question yourself too. Boy, I'm sure I don't have enough compassion. I'm sure you don't either. He said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Jesus said, "You've answered right. This do and you shall live." There is a problem with it because I know people. I've been dealing with people as a pastor for over 64 years. And we're not all like that way. Everybody in the church isn't nice. Everybody in the church isn't sweet. Everybody in the church is not what they ought to be. Amen. This is a place for sinners to come to God. We're all sinners. We're not the most righteous people in the world, probably not the most best people in the world. Wow. Here's just a stranger on the side of the road. What kind of neighbor are you? I wasn't much of a neighbor to most of my neighbors. I didn't even know all of them. Do you? I don't think you do. You know, in Ecclesiastes, there was a very wise man there, Solomon. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Have you ever seen the fastest racer lose? I have. Yeah. Nor battle to the strong. How about Goliath? If he was evidently the strongest man on that field, he was way stronger than David. But he didn't win. Nor yet bread to the wise. Sometimes in problems over there in the Ukraine, there are a lot of wise men and they're suffering. Or they're dead. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. You ever thought about, I have known some people that just everything they did turned into money. I was just amazed because they didn't seem all that smart. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. Nor yet favor to men of skill. I've seen some people who had real skills, but they couldn't make it work. Time and chance happeneth to them all. That's what Solomon said. Isn't that the truth? Don't you recognize that in life? Time and chance happens to them all. Everybody is not rich. Everybody is not full. Everybody does not live in a nice house. Everybody doesn't have air conditioning. Everybody's kids don't grow up with full bellies. Time and chance happens to them all. What kind of a neighbor are you? Well, I think I'm probably a pretty poor neighbor. Maybe you would be too. Psalm 142:4. David was brave. He was skilled. He knew God. David won many, many battles. But here's David praying in a cave. I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Wow. You ever felt that way? You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that your prayers weren't getting out of the ceiling to God? You have to approach God by faith. You got to take Him at His word and believe that He will hear you. Whether He does exactly what you want, that's really not really for you to really be too worried about. God sees a great big picture. What do you think Job felt like? He felt like he was deserted by God, and he was to a certain extent. And yet he won a great victory for God against the devil. And Job even won a great victory in his life himself. He remained faithful through all of the losses. I used to get a little bit upset at Job's wife when she got so upset with him. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? I thought, what kind of a wife is that, you know? But she lost 10 kids. 10 children came out of her womb and she lost them all in a day or two's time. She had a right to be a little bit angry. She had a right to be a little bit suffering. We don't look at everything right sometimes. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be you warmed and filled. Boy, may the Lord's blessings be on you. May everything go right for you. He says, if you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Sometimes there's a lot of common sense that could just be raised up in our relations to people. I got several coats. It wouldn't hurt me to give a coat to somebody that doesn't have a coat. I've got food. It wouldn't hurt for me to give some food to somebody that has a need for food. We look around and we look about how we treat our neighbors. Well, most of us don't even know them in our society today. We hardly know them. We might know to just to speak to them, one, two, or three, whatever. But we certainly don't know in the neighborhood, and I can agree with you, it would really turn my stomach to have to take care of a bloody man. But I think we ought to have more. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. What we're preaching, the message of salvation that we bring, it's that God went to the trouble to go to the cross for us. The perfect Son of God, the righteous Son of God, took my sin and your sin and all the people in the jail's sins on himself, on the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life for you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the beauty of the gospel.
Amen.
It's not a reward. Salvation is not a reward for being good.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift to sinners.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's a gift to sinners. I'll make you righteous as Jesus Christ. I will declare you justified in everything you've ever done.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the gospel. That's what we ought to be preaching. That's what you ought to be receiving. Don't come to the church thinking we're the better people. No. We perceive the love of God. He laid down his life. And then he said in the next verse, whoso hath this world's good, you got money, you got food, you got clothing. And seeing his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a pretty good question. How much of the love of God dwells in you and in me? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. I'll tell you what, it's an amazing thing when you think about your neighbor as God looks at it. You know, in Isaiah 55:6 is one of the greatest invitation verses that I've just been impressed with it for years and years and years. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
Yes,
seek God while he can. If you wait until you die and you come before the judgment of God, you'll go to hell. Because you're not that good. You're just not that good.
Amen.
Even the very best of us
Amen.
In here are not perfect. We don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. And we certainly don't love our neighbor as ourselves. It brings guilt just exactly like the Ten Commandments brings guilt. We're guilty. But God has mercy on sinners. And he says right there, seek him while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Under our God, he will have mercy upon him. And God will abundantly pardon. Wow. Now understand me. There's only one mediator between God and men.
Amen.
If you're looking to someone else to help you, you're looking for St. Peter or St. Paul or St. John or your mother or your grandmother or somebody that's already gone on, you're looking in vain. The Pope can't, the priest can't, the preacher can't, the missionary can't give you forgiveness of any sin. You have to go to God for that.
Amen.
And you go to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One mediator. So clear. Just let the word say what it says. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way. Look at these articles. The way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I realize that is an audacious statement and one that brings a lot of controversy in the world with all of the different religions that are around, but it's the truth.
Amen.
There's just one way for you to be saved, and that's to receive a gift.
Amen.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our
Amen.
Lord. And I can go into a prison and deal with the greatest, grisliest murderer that ever lived and tell him Jesus Christ can forgive your sins if you'll seek him. You'll ask him. You'll accept him. You'll believe in him, what he said. Well, if I can do that, then I can certainly come to you. You're nice people. Oh, you're not perfect. You're not sweet enough to make heaven. But I tell you what, you're nice people. I love you. Many of you, I've loved you for so many years. I can tell you the same thing. I don't care what your sins were. I don't care what your problems are. If you'll call upon Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
And that's the gospel we preach. Lord, help anyone here that's lost and listening to my voice to trust you, to accept your salvation as a gift, not as a reward. Because, Lord, not any of us deserve a reward. But we ask you to hear our prayers. Touch hearts and lives that need to be touched today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.